patron saint, which hung from the top of my oak bedstead, and the dead fly fell right on my head. I pushed my nose from under the bedclothes, put out my hand to steady the little picture which was still swinging, threw the dead fly on the floor, and looked at Karl Ivanitch with angry though sleepy eyes. He, however, in his variegated quilted dressing-gown, girdled with a belt of the same material, and with a red tasselled smoking-cap on his head, continued to walk round the room in his soft leather boots, aiming at and hitting the flies. "Of course I am little," I thought, "but why should he disturb me? Why does he not kill the flies round Valorgia's bed? See what a lot of them there are. No, Valorgia is older than I. I am the youngest of all. That's why he torments me. He thinks of nothing in life but how to make things unpleasant for me," I whispered. "He sees perfectly well that he has woken me up and frightened me, but he pretends not to notice it. Repulsive man. His dressing gown and cap and tassel are all repulsive." While I was mentally expressing my annoyance with Karl Ivanitch in this way, he went up to his bed, looked at his watch, which hung above it in a small beaded slipper, hung the fly-swat on a nail in the wall, and, evidently in the best of spirits, turned to us.
"Auf, Kinder, auf! Es ist Zeit! Die Mutter ist schon im Saal!"
"Up, children, up! It's time. Mother is already in the dining-room," exclaimed he in his kind German voice. Then he came up to me, sat down at the foot of my bed, and took his snuff-box from his pocket. I pretended to be asleep. Karl Ivanitch first took a pinch of snuff, wiped his nose, snapped his fingers, and only then turned on me. He began laughingly to tickle my heels.
"Now then, lazy bones," he said.
Much as I dreaded being tickled, I did not jump up or answer him, but only hid my head deeper under the pillow and kicked with all my strength to keep from laughing. How kind he is, and how fond of us! Oh, how could I think so badly of him? I was annoyed with myself and with Karl Ivanitch, and felt like laughing and crying at once. My nerves were upset.
"Ach! Lassen Sie, Karl Ivanitch!"
"Leave me alone," I shouted, with tears in my eyes, thrusting my head out from under the pillow. Karl Ivanitch was surprised, left the soles of my feet in peace, and anxiously began to inquire what was the matter, and whether I had had a bad dream. His kindly German face, and the concern he showed as he tried to discover the cause of my tears, made them flow even faster. I was ashamed, and could not understand how, only a moment before, I had been able to dislike him and consider his dressing-gown, cap, and tassel repulsive. Now, on the contrary, all these things appeared extremely pleasing, and even the tassel seemed clear evidence of his goodness. I said that I was crying because of a bad dream, that Mama had died and was being carried to her funeral. I invented all this, for I could not remember anything about what I had dreamt that night. But when Karl Ivanitch, touched by my words, began to console and calm me, it seemed to me that I had really had that dreadful dream, and I now shed tears for another reason. When Karl Ivanitch left me, and having sat up in bed I began drawing the stockings onto my small feet, my tears flowed more gently, but the gloomy thoughts of my invented dream did not leave me. Nikolai, our attendant, a clean little man, always serious, neat, respectful, and great friends with Karl Ivanitch, came in. He brought our clothes. For Valorgia, a pair of boots, and for me those detestable shoes with bows which I still wore. I was ashamed to let him see me cry, besides which the morning sun shone merrily into the room, and Valorgia, standing at the washstand and mimicking Maria Ivanovna, our sister's governess, was laughing so loudly and happily that even the serious Nikolai...